Job chapter 29, the second and the two following verses. Job chapter 29, the second and the two following verses. Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. We read at the beginning of Job that in the eyes of God he was a perfect man. And one would have thought the way in which he was blessed with this world's goods and with his family and being perfect in the eyes of God, that he would have continued in these comforts down to his dying day. But what a difference a few months makes. How we may be in the Spirit, enjoying the things of the Spirit, and in a few moments those things be taken from us. How we can have great riches, many comforts upon this earth, and in a few months to be stripped of them all. And we have a very solemn warning with regard to Job, and that is with regard to those gifts which the Lord gives us, that they're only loaned to us, that we cannot claim them or call them our own for any length of time. How the Lord can take them away so suddenly. And as the Lord and Satan spoke to each other, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, a servant of the Lord?" And here we hear him saying, "Oh, that I were as in months past." When Job was brought into this place, we can understand the poor man's feelings, can't we? His health had gone, his wealth had gone, his family had gone, his friends had gone. But it wasn't those that he wanted. Although he'd been stripped of them, that wasn't what he wanted. "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me." It was God that he wanted, not the things of this present life. I say, what a lesson there is to be learned from this. Those of us who profess to know something of this God, that we cannot claim anything and hold anything for any length of time. But there is only one thing that is so important above all the things of time, and that is this knowledge of the only true God. When God preserved him, from making too much of those things which the Lord had given him, I don't believe that those things which God had given Job were preferential in Job's mind to his God. Job loved his God, and God loved his Job. But here we see the work of Satan. Here we see the permissive will of God, not only with regard to teaching Job, but also teaching Satan, and above all teaching us. Because this word is left on record for our instruction. And also it speaks here, as we've purposely taken this fourth verse, as I was in the days of my youth. How you young friends have to be very careful with regard to the plans of this life. We can see everything before us as we were in our youth. This world seemed to be so wonderful, didn't it? It seemed as if we could make progress. Everything seemed to come our way. And we were so easily taken up with the pleasures of it, the comforts of it, and everything connected with this life in our youth. But how the Lord dealt with us. How we would have nothing to do with him, but he dealt with us. In a most strange way. And when the Lord deals with his people, he deals with them in a very strange way. A way which you would never think. He shows them the vanity and the emptiness of those things which we so long for and desire. And then leads us to something which is far better than anything this world can give. I believe I can speak perhaps more than any other with regard to the things of this world and the way in which they attract, the way in which we can fall so easily. But I can also speak of the mercy of God. Now Job, you see, he was able to look back. Oh, that I were as in months past. So he was soon brought down. It wasn't a matter of years, it was months. That he was stripped of all that which man looks to as being of some great importance. But in the previous chapter, he speaks with regard to wisdom. And the wisdom of God is so superior to that of man. And the wisdom of God is to show us that there's something far more important than this life. And then to show us in such a way that we seek after something which is far more important than this life. And he gives us a touch of it, those who he calls by his grace. And they rejoice in it. And like dear old Job, as he had all the things of this life and a good hope with regard to the life to come, he thought he was going to die in his nest. But that was not God's ways. That was Job's way. But almost in a moment, the Lord afflicted him, stripped him of all his glory, stripped him of all his wisdom. And as he was looked to by others and esteemed, his very esteem was taken from him. And he was brought down as a poor afflicted worm, so dependent upon the help of his God. But what a place to be brought, to be utterly dependent upon the help of your God. Until you're brought there, you won't know whether you've got a God or not. You've got to be brought there to know whether you've got a God, to be made absolutely dependent upon him. Now, it won't be necessary for the Lord to strip every one of us and deal with every one of us in exactly the same way as he dealt with Job. But he will bring us to that same spot as where Job was brought, and that is to be absolutely dependent upon him. It says, "Thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought. Thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught." And then the hymn writer goes on to say, what is it to keep close to him? What is it to have that dependence upon him? He says, "Keep close to me, thou helpless sheep." And that's where the Lord brings his people into that helpless condition, but helpless sheep. What a beautiful picture is set before us there. How different to perhaps the way we would look at Job. But there he was, a helpless sheep before that great shepherd. And there was this cry still within his heart. Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Or how his wife told him to curse God and die. But he was preserved. He was preserved from rebelling. And this is not nature. Nature would rebel at the way in which the Lord dealt with him. He would have rebelled and said, well, is this God? Is this religion? I want nothing to do with it. Here I was with all the comforts of this life. I had a good hope in this life and a good hope for the life to come. And now, not only am I stripped of everything else in this life, but I'm stripped of that communion that I had with my God. Place to be brought, isn't it? When one has known the sweet communion of God. When one has walked with God. When one has talked with God. When one has looked upon this God as being their God. Oh, that I were as in months past. But what a favour that Job could look back to his past. Some of us, as we look back to our past, we tremble, don't we? We can see things in our past that Job apparently couldn't see. All he could see was the goodness of his God toward him and of that blessed time that he had with his God. But some of us, as we look back to our past, oh, how different was our pathway to Job. But have we not the same God, we hope, that Job had? That same merciful God? That God who has dealt with us as he dealt with Job and as he dealt with Satan. Now he was dealing with Job in a blessed way. Not only is it a great blessing to be shown the emptiness of this world, the vanity of it, when we see multitudes, as far as we can tell, rushing into hell, so taken up with everything upon this life, no thought for God, no thought for eternity, no thought with regard to their end. All they think about is this life and the things of it. But dear Job, although he had much in this life, there was something far more important to him than that, and that was his God. Now as we then measure ourselves against God's word, what is most important to you? Is it this world or is it your God? It's one or the other. It's a question which needs a lot of grace to answer. And we need to be very honest with regard to these things. Because if this world is more important to us than our God, we're in a very solemn position. And especially as we're dying mortals and know not what a moment may bring forth. But if it's this God, it matters not what we may lose upon this earth, what the Lord may take from us. He never takes away our all, said one, himself he gives us still. And poor Job, he still had life within his soul, didn't he? His poor old body, it seemed as if the life was running out of that with his affliction. But his soul was lively. He was able to look back under a measure of faith to the time when God preserved him. And if only he could feel that preserving power now, even in his present position, he would have been happy. He felt at that moment, if we could speak for Job, that everything could be given up so easily. Or if only we could look back to that time when God preserved us. Now it seems as if we're coming to the end, we're all ready to give up. But oh, that I were as in days past, as in the days when God preserved me by that blessed faith, so that I could trust this God when his candle shined upon my head. His candle. Not a great light, but a candle, a glimmer. There is no evidence in God's word that the Lord leads his people through in the brightness of his countenance. It is, as we read in the Corinthians, through a glass, darkly, they see these things. But oh, to have a glimmer of light, a candle, as it were, upon our head, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Now, to look back then to that time when light was given, when you could see the hand of God in your affairs, when you felt and knew that you were preserved by God. Some of us can go back and say this, preserved in Jesus when my feet made haste to hell, and there should I have been. But he's done all things well. Were not his love so firm and free, he soon would take it, Lord, from me. He would. And here we can prove the faithfulness of God. If ever a man walked that pathway, we did. But how we can see the way in which the Lord does work. And although we may have gone, as it were, headlong into hell, apart from the grace of God, yet, dear Job, he was preserved. He still had that faith preserved in him. And he still looked back upon that time when that light was given. Don't despise a glimmer of hope. However small that hope may be, it may be but a glimmer, but to have it is a great blessing. Don't expect the Lord to shine upon your pathway in such a way that you can have clear evidences of the pathway to heaven, where you can look to the future and say, yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given, because we can't. We don't know what's before us, and we're ever dependent upon the Lord. But there are those times of assurance when, in deep distress, we've been able to say, yes, we shall endure. But only as the Lord preserves us, only as the Lord keeps us, and only as the Lord goes before us. When his candle shined upon my head, when the Lord could see me, as it were, when I stood out above the multitude, when the Lord saw me so different to anyone else, he could see his servant Job, when his candle was upon my head. Not only did that have an effect, you see, upon Job, it had effect upon the Lord. The Lord could see him. And whatever condition Job was brought into, the Lord knew it. And the Lord watched over Job every moment of his life, beginning to end. And the Lord still watches over his people from beginning to end. It's like a candle that he can see them in this dark, evil world. And he can see that little faith. He can see that little hope. He can see that little prayer. He can see them groping along in that little light when the candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walk through darkness. All the darkness of this world, the darkness of evil, and when we knew nothing of this candle upon our head, the Lord did. How he, as it were, separated his people. How he gave them that mark and that evidence that not only could they be seen by him, but they're seen by the world. And how we need to be very careful with regard to this, the way in which we walk in darkness. We are surrounded by the evils of darkness. We are watched by the world. We have a profession of religion. And people watch us. And they compare us, perhaps, with other so-called Christians. and they can see perhaps a difference. And as we speak to them, they realise that there is a difference between us and the so-called Christian world. But if we are truly a Christian, in the true sense of the word, it's not something of our own making. It's something which the Lord has done for us. The term Christian is used so lightly today that anyone who is a citizen of this land of ours is a Christian, because it was and is still called a Christian nation. But there's nothing in a name. It's what that name really means. And to be a Christian is to be one who is taught by the Lord, the same as Job was. One whose the Lord puts a candle, as it were, upon their head, that he sees them, the world sees them, and they see this God. And they're able to walk through darkness. Some of the dark places some of the Lord's people have been in. When we come to consider John Newton, to the lengths that he went to, and yet how he was able to pen those beautiful lines, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." John Newton could tell much with regard to his God, and he did, didn't he? How he was raised up. And how dear Job, how he longed for that his name might be written in the rock, that it might be engraved with a pen. But little did he know that all his experience would not be upon a rock where it would be subject to the weather and the elements, where it would eventually be destroyed, but written in God's word. Those desires which Job had, you know, were desires from the Lord. And the Lord satisfies the desires of every living thing. When the Lord's people have living desires, they are desires which the Lord gives them. He puts those desires within their heart. And even this desire, "Oh, that I were as in months past." Why? Why? Because the Lord's people, the Lord has favoured them. And as they look back upon those times when the Lord favoured them, and then they are brought into a time of darkness, a time when it appears, and I stress that word appears, because it only appears, that the Lord has forgotten them. That the Lord is no more gracious toward them. But this God is exactly the same to Job. His love was the same to Job in Job's prosperity, the same as it was in Job's adversity. And the love of God to his people is always the same. It's constant. Whether in times of prosperity or times of adversity, the love of God is always the same to his people. But Job says, "Oh, that I was," not that God was. "Oh, that I was as in months past." And then he speaks about his God. "And when this candle shined upon his head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle." The secret of God. Everything connected with God is a secret to our fallen nature. With all the evidences that man has, with all the proof that man has with regard to God and the creation, it's still a secret. Men today are spending millions and millions of pounds trying to find out the secret of God. And they're wasting their time, wasting their money. Where the secret of God is revealed to his people. One doesn't have to be intelligent, naturally speaking, to know the secret of God. How the Lord chooses the most unlikely characters, the dying thief was one. The secret of God was revealed to him. Those women, Mary Magdalene, the secret of God was revealed to her. Those wretched characters, poor Legion, with all his sin, The secret of God was revealed to him. Not many wise, not many noble are chosen. But to know something of the secret of God. To know something of his power. To know something of what he can do. To know that he has a people. These are all secrets to those who know him not. But Job knew something of the secret. The secret of God was upon my tabernacle. It was upon him. The Lord had chosen him out and he knew it. He has secret communion with his God. And God has secret communion with him. Is yours a secret religion? It's fashionable today to let everybody see your religion and to speak about it. They have an outward religion, not an inward, but a secret religion is hidden. And to have this secret of God is that which goes on within the heart. It's not that which is seen by men. Men like to put on a big show, don't they? And how they distort their faces. And how they dress a certain way to be seen and heard of men. It's not the way of God. God deals secretly within the heart. And as the Lord deals secretly with his people, so there's that secret going out after them. And this was a secret desire of Job which has been exposed. It's no longer a secret because it is the pathway of all the Lord's people. Oh, that I were as in months past. Can you go back to a time when the secret of the Lord was upon your head? When you walked with your God? When you felt such sweet communion with his God, he was everything to you? When you thought that you would die in your nest, when you never gave it a thought that your hope would be taken, that you would be brought into doubt even with regard to your standing before God because of your sinnership, as you came under the tempter's power, when you were ready to give everything up, but how the Lord preserved you, how the Lord preserves you, and however low you're brought, whatever doubts you're brought into, yet there is this remaining all the time. Oh, that I were as in months past, when faith was strong, when I could defy the greatest enemy of God, when I could stand firm in those things which the Lord had taught me. But now I tremble. Now I feel this weakness. Now doubt is brought upon my pathway because of my wretched nature. I look back and it seems as if all these things are against me. Why, the old patriarch felt the same thing, didn't he? He was stripped of his children. It seems as if everything was going against him. But when he saw the wagons, what a difference it made. How he said, it's enough. It's enough. And when the Lord comes and gives you some visible token of his love and his mercy towards you, you'll say it's enough. For the Lord to renew his loving kindness toward you, you'll say it's enough. We come to the Lord and we plead, Lord, give us another token. Lord, give me another confirmation. Lord, give me another proof. You seem to be so far off, and it seems as if your sins are so great, and instead of getting better, you're like the woman with the issue of blood. You spend all that you can and you rather grow worse. Oh, that I were as in days past, when I wasn't as weak as I am now. Can't you hear that dear woman with the issue of blood saying that? Why, before her very life, as it were, was flowing from her, because there's life in the blood. And there she was in that weak condition. But by faith, the Lord enabled her to push through all the obstacles. The secret of the Lord was with her. There was something secret going on with that woman. Although she was so weak, she was strong in faith. She was able to push through all those multitudes and all those things in her way. And at last, she got to where she wanted. Is your faith as strong as that woman's? If so, you'll get where you want. And where was that? She wanted to get to Jesus. She wanted to touch him. She wanted to attract him. She wanted to draw his attention to her state and her condition. And who gave her that energy and that desire? Why, the Lord himself. And the Lord knew everything about her. The Lord knew where she was. Why? Because there was a candle upon her head. He could see her in that multitude. He knew what was going on. He knew who touched her, who touched him. But how that poor woman, how she came trembling and confessed. Oh, that I were, as in months past, when we had such faith, when we could press through all the doubts, all the fears, all the obstacles, when we could walk so comfortably and with joy in the commands of the Lord, how we could follow the Lord, believing in what the Lord had done for our souls. Oh, that I were, as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, when these very devils that we'd been mixing with, and how we were able to tell them perhaps a little of what the Lord was doing and how the Lord had appeared for us, and how we were able, as it were, to find comfort in a time of trial and tribulation, and how we could bless the Lord and praise the Lord, and how we went in the joy of the Lord. But what a change has taken place, to be stripped of all these things, all these comforts, and it would appear almost all of his faith. It seemed all his friends, well, they were bigots really, weren't they? They were trusting in something regarding their flesh. If we look at it closely, his friends knew very much, very little with regard to the ways of God. By experience, they had a good head knowledge of it. Well, they knew that which was right. They had a certain amount of natural wisdom. But the reality of these things is secret to the Lord. And we should be stripped of trusting in our nearest and dearest. And we shall have to trust in the Lord and the Lord alone. When you come to a dying bed, your nearest and dearest won't be any good to you then. Even that one who you walk so closely with upon the face of this earth, and perhaps has such sweet communion with, will be no use to you then. But to have this experience, oh that I were as in days past, that the Lord would come, the Lord would reveal himself to me yet again. Now, as I was then in the days of my youth, what a blessing it was to Job to be able to look back upon his youth with a certain amount of pleasure for the way in which the Lord was with him. Not many could do this. Not many bear the yoke in their youth, but it's a great blessing to know anything of the Lord in our youth. Even those pricks of conscience, those pricks that we found it very hard to kick against, and yet kick we did. And then the Lord gradually brought us into the knowledge and the secret of God. But in his youth, as he was able to look back to it, or was he referring to the youth of his calling in the early days of his experience? It's nice when we can look back to the youth of the new birth, when we were born, as it were, quickened into divine life, to look back to that time when the things were made so clear to us. Things are much clearer when we're young. Things we can see in such a different way when we're young. We're able to do things so much easier when we're young. And so it is spiritually, as one is brought into the light of the blessed gospel, as they are brought into the reality, the youth of experience, the youth of hope, the youth of blessing, And when they're able, as it were, to feed upon the pure milk of the word, as yet they have been brought into trial. Their faith hasn't been tested. Not like poor Job's, but they're able to look back to that time of their youth when the Lord first began in their souls. What a blessed time that was. When they were raised, as it were, up above all their sin, above all the childhood and the teaching of the law, and when they saw a precious Christ, that first experience of the hope within, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. He was reminded that this body was merely a tabernacle, not a temple. The tabernacle was moved. It was taken down. The temple was a permanent building. And we want to remember this, that we have a tabernacle. And that tabernacle is like the tabernacle that the children of Israel had through the wilderness. It went where they went. But there were some precious things in that tabernacle. Things which God had ordained. The commands of God had been fulfilled in that tabernacle. And so it is spiritually within the child of God, as this body of sin and death is a tabernacle. The commands of God are fulfilled. His purposes, his secrets are revealed. But until the temple came, you see, there was that veil in the temple. But how that was rent. And then that entering into the Holy of Holies. And when the child of God, as he's brought into that temple, that building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, when that will be rent, the veil of the temple will be rent, and when that spirit will enter into the holiest of holies, never again to depart. Death, we know that Christ is the only way of salvation. But death is the only way of entering into the fullness of it. Now then, Job doubtless, as he was taught by God in the early days and went back to look back upon it, death was not that fearful monster that it is to the world. He was able to find comfort and hope in his death. He looked perhaps in his misery with anticipation to his death, when he would leave this tabernacle. But as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. And then he goes on about his children being with him, and how he received comfort from his children. But as time went on, his children were no longer a comfort. Or how poor old Jacob, how he had to suffer because of his children, and how many of the Lord's dear people have had to suffer because of their children. But it's all part of the way in which the Lord is leading his people, and how some of those children which have been the greatest rebels have been brought down and proved to be the greatest comfort to some of the Lord's people. How it was in the case of Warburton with his son, how he was a rebel, how he kicked against religion and everything connected with it. But how he, in his latter days, he was such a comfort to his father. And therefore the secret of these things is only known to the Lord. All we can see is the immediate circumstances, those things which are around us. And we come to a conclusion, don't we, before we should. And it's wrong for us to come to any conclusion, however clear it may appear to us, until the Lord reveals it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, said the preacher. And that's what we want, is the conclusion of the whole matter, and not to come to some conclusion halfway through. But now here is Job then, how he's looking back. Oh, that I were as in months past. It's a good prayer. It's a good place to be brought. But how we, as we go on through Job, we find that his latter day was far better than the beginning. how he wanted to go back to the beginning. Was Job misguided here? Was his wisdom lacking something? There's something wrong, isn't there? If we want to go back to the beginning of that spiritual birth. It's nice when we can go back and see the evidence, but if it's true, and if we have the substance of it, surely it's the end we should be anticipating. Not having a desire to go back to the beginning of it. Although isn't it not by going back to the beginning that the very end of it becomes more precious? As the Lord by his help and by his grace reveals to us the reality of our beginning, because if the beginning's right, the end must be right. But if the beginning's wrong, well then the end will be wrong. And so it is good wisdom, sound wisdom, to go back to the beginning. And to beg of the Lord to show us with regard to our beginning, whether it was right. However convinced we may have been with regard to it, and some of us were fairly convinced with regard to our beginning, but oh that I were as in months past, because that even the beginning, the comfort, the sweetness, the reality of it, the blessedness of it, is not felt today as it was then. And not only that, there is this concern, we're so much farther upon the road, so much nearer the end, aren't we? So far away from the beginning, almost near the end now. And so we come and say, Lord, was the beginning right? Was my beginning right? Was I really called by grace? Am I one that's just been brought up in a religious circle? And had I been brought up under the so-called Roman Church, would I have been a Romanist or a Buddhist or some other sect? Have I got some clear evidence that the Lord has called me by his grace and revealed his secret in me? Oh, that I were as in days past, in months past, when the candle of God was upon my head, when I could see, as it were, those things that the Lord had clearly done. Although the light was not as clear as I would have liked it, yet there was that evidence. And then how he speaks of those who looked upon him and revered him, but now they looked upon him with shame. The longer we go on in our profession, the fewer we become our friends. Have you proved that? In the early days you might have many friends, but as you go on, you'll find your friends will become less and less. The older you get, you'll find your friends will become less. There'll be those, perhaps, who you've walked with, who are now in glory, and therefore they're less in that respect. And as you've been taught by the Lord, and as the secret of the Lord has been revealed to you, you'll find it's not so easy to make friends with the world. It's not so easy to make friends with the neighbours, is it? Which perhaps you did at one time. It's not so easy to make friends of others who know not this God, and therefore you have less friends. And there's very few today who know anything of the experience of the Lord's people. Very few. There's many make a profession, but very few know the possession of it. And this is the concern as to whether we have the possession of it. And there'll be this constant desire within our heart, Lord, take me back to the beginning. Oh, that I were as in days past. Give me, as it were, that light again, that I might retrace my life, that quickening power, those evidences, those comforts, those blessings, that union, that communion that I had in those days. So much has happened since. So many sins have covered up those blessed times. My faith seems to have almost disappeared, but I still have this little bit of faith. Lord, oh that I were as in months past. as in the days when God preserved me. Lord, don't let me fall. Give me that grace to endure unto the end. You know the Lord did, didn't he? How the Lord continued to preserve Job, and how he brought him right down to the end, and how Job was able to rejoice in those things. And the Lord, even in a providential way, gave Job, made up to Job, all that he'd lost. The children of God don't lose a thing upon this earth. Whatever the Lord may take away from them, he'll make it up to them in some other way. If he takes away your providences, he'll make it up to you in grace. And I'm sure you'd rather have it made up to you in grace than in providence. But even in providence, the Lord makes it up to his people. It's a great providence, isn't it, to know something of this God. I say it's a great providence to know something of this God. When others have not been led this way. But it's more blessed to know him by experience. Is there experience in providence? Because if there's experience in your providence, that's grace. You see, people have providence without experience. But if you have providence and experience, well then that's grace. The experience of God is experiences where you experience the power of God, where you experience your heart going out after God. And in his providences, although his providences were stripped from him, he wanted his God more than the things of this present life. So may the Lord then so give us an insight into these secret things, that it might be our desire to seek after the things of God more than the things of time. We must leave it. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.